This has been a good day, hasn't it? It's been a pleasure to be with you, so that we can worship together and study God's Word together. And so I'd like for us to turn to Romans chapter 12, and a verse that I want to bring to our attention for this lesson. It's another one of the one another passages, of which there are many in the New Testament. And here the apostle says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. And do not be wise in your own estimation. This brief exhortation occurs in a passage that emphasizes both the diversity and the unity that exists in the church. It is one of several passages where the Apostle Paul emphasizes the fact that there is one body, but there are many members in the one body. And he emphasizes that here. If you see in verse 4 and 5, or just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. He expands that a little bit and explains what he means, and that is that we have different gifts. He talks about the different gifts that exist in the church, and that's by design, I believe. There is this the differentness, if you will, the diversity that exists in the body of Christ. Here in this text, he says to be of the same mind with one another, and it's interesting that Paul is emphasizing the sameness of in the thinking of the members. In spite of all of these differences, he wants us to think about how we should regard one another, and he says to be of the same mind toward one another. It's the idea of harmony. One translation, I think the English Standard Version, says live in harmony with one another. Of course, we know that any time that you have harmony, for example, harmony in a group of singers, harmony exists because the singers are singing different parts. And so it's kind of an interesting paradox. Harmony doesn't mean that everybody's doing the same thing. It means that what everybody's doing contributes to the same end result, and that is the fulfillment of God's purpose in this case. But to say that we're the same but we're different, you know, that seems contradictory, that there are many members in one body, we're all the same in one respect, but also we're different. That seems contradictory. And how can that be? How can something be the same but be different at the same time? Let me use a couple of analogies real quickly. You think about a family, and in every family there are members in the family, each of which is a unique individual. So all these different individuals, they're different from everybody else, and that's the beauty of it. But at the same time, they are all, in their being, a valued part of the family. They're all the same in that. We're all members of the family, even though we have different personalities and different needs. In any organization, it's the same way. Just to give another illustration, an organization, by definition, consists of many people with different jobs to do, different tasks to carry out. But they're all the same in their being essential to fulfilling the mission of the organization. So I think we can understand that principle. And the Apostle Paul makes that very clear in this passage, that that's the way it is in the body of Christ. He is teaching that we have in the body of Christ many members with differing gifts, different abilities, different social and economic backgrounds, come from different races. All of these things add to the diversity and ultimately to the strength of the body, because they are in one body. And as members of the one body, they share the same salvation, they aspire to the same hope, and they pursue the same purpose. So this is what draws us together, you see. It's all about unity. So the exhortation is, be of the same mind toward one another. It's also good in this text to think about not only in that context that I just summarized, but also to look at the previous verse. Because before he says, be of the same mind toward one another, he talks about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. It is interesting that he has just talked about sharing one another's joys and tears. And no matter what others are going through, and everybody's going through something, no matter what is happening, we should be concerned about what's going on with them. And so the idea then is to be of the same mind toward one another, strive to live in harmony with one another, is important in the family of God. There should be no respect of persons in the family of God. No partiality shown. Now, something often happens, though, based on differences that we have, whether it's social differences or racial differences, economic, whatever it may be. We should not allow those differences to cause us to make distinctions or divide up into cliques or pecking orders in the church. The Apostle Paul is always very strong about not making those kinds of mistakes. And then, the key to this is the last thing he says in verse 16, do not be wise in your own estimation. That is, don't be haughty. Do not set your mind on high things, as we often are tempted to do. So-called things like wealth or privilege or education, all these things that we tend in our culture to put a high premium on these things. And Paul said, no, you don't focus on those things. Don't be influenced by those differences in such a way that they become the basis of your attitude toward the brethren. Rather, he says, you associate with the lowly. You find it in your capacity, in your opportunity, to seek out the lowest, most humble one in the group and be with them. But let's think about three lessons this morning, three applications of this principle of being of the same mind toward one another. The first comes from James chapter 2, and I call this faith above favoritism. We're familiar with this text in James chapter 2. It's not a very pretty picture, though. You know, the Bible contains the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there are lessons to be gained from these. So here's what he describes. He says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our Lord, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes, and you say, oh, you sit here in a good place. And then you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? James is painting a scene here that's not a very pretty picture. And it's a picture of an assembly, a local group of Christians, where they're showing this set of persons. They are practicing partiality in the way they treat one another, and that's not a very pretty picture, is it? And so the ones that have wealth or some social status are treated in a special way, and others in an inferior way. But James says you shouldn't do this. He says you've become judges with evil motives if you do this. You've made improper distinctions between people when you do this. And then he makes an interesting observation. He says, didn't God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? You know, that's something the Apostle Paul also talked about. In 1 Corinthians 1, for example, he says, consider your calling, my brethren, that there are not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble who are called. That is to say that, generally speaking, this is a generality in Scripture, I believe, not an absolute, but it's a generality that generally the gospel is more readily received by those who are downtrodden, by those who are poor, by those who are down and out, And it's hard to condemn the rich man. Rich man, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, Jesus said. And that's the reason. And so be careful. Paul is warning here. He says, be of the same mind toward one another. Don't let yourself fall into this trap of making social distinctions between people and catering to them. In fact, there are times when we need to be ready to share in a material way with those who have needs. That's what the early church did in Acts chapter 2 and also in Acts chapter 4. We see in both of those passages, we recently studied that, you remember, that there was a poverty in the church. They were going through famine times, and there were those who were suffering, especially the widows. And so what did the Christians do? Well, they sacrificed. Some of them, they sold property and brought the proceeds to share with those who had need. That's being of the same mind toward one another. And so faith comes above favoritism in this way. But another principle that we have here is the one that's found in 1 Corinthians 2, and I call this pursuing one purpose. The pursuit of one purpose, that's really the key to this. And the passage I want to look at here is kind of the twin passage to our text. Romans 12, let's go from Romans 12 over to 1 Corinthians 12. And in both of these passages, chapter 12 stands out, both in Romans and 1 Corinthians, chapter 12 stands out as a passage where the Apostle Paul emphasizes the principle that there is one body consisting of many members. Here Paul says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And Paul establishes then the spiritual principle here, and that is that by virtue of the grace of God and our response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have been incorporated into the body of Christ. And there were many members, but there is one body. It's Christ. And that's what we're called to. That has practical implications, though. And Paul talks about the diversity of function here. He compares it to a body where the foot says, I'm not a hand. Or the ear says, I'm not an eye. You remember that passage, don't you? It's kind of a vivid thing. It's hard to not get the point there. And sometimes those who may see themselves as not as important, that they don't have as much to offer the church, and they may look at themselves as being inferior in some way. But Paul says, no, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. There's a plan in this. There's divine wisdom in having people with different abilities and different places to fill in the body of Christ. And that's the beauty of it, that everybody's not doing the same thing. Everybody has different things that can be offered to the furtherance of the cause. He talks about then emphasizes now there are many members but one body. And so those who may see themselves as inferior, they shouldn't think that way. He also turns it around and says those who think themselves as superior, they shouldn't think that way either. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. See, he says it's that the members of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those that we might normally deem less honorable are actually honorable in the sight of God. God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So it kind of is a reflection of what we see in Romans 12. But he uses these illustrations that are vivid in getting the point across. Here's the common theme. The common theme is that there is a unity of purpose in the body of Christ. And any congregation that loses sight of the unity of purpose, that loses sight of the purpose that we are to be pursuing, we're going to find ourselves struggling. And that's what can happen when we start worrying about position and seeing some as greater, some as less important, instead of being of the same mind toward one another. What is it that we all have in common? We're striving for the same cause. And that's important for us to keep in mind. Each member has a place. Each member has a role to fulfill in the body of Christ, and we ought to expect that. Never look upon any member of the body as unimportant or of less value. Have the same care for one another, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 12. And this is an attitude that will promote the unity of the body as we pursue the one purpose. Again, I want us to conclude by going to Philippians chapter 2 and thinking about what Paul refers to as the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is service above self. The mind of Christ is service above self. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, the apostle begins this section with really a lot to say about unity and striving for unity. And so he says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Now see, Paul is there stating some of the same principles we've seen in these other passages thus far. Be concerned for one another. Put aside selfishness. Put aside rivalries. Put aside empty conceit and vainglory. And strive for unity. As Paul puts it in Ephesians, be diligent to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Unity that ought to be there. Well, what's the key here? The key is our attitude. And it's the mind of Christ. And to really get to the point here, he says, I want you to have this mind in yourself. What mind is that? This mind of putting service above self, others above self, being concerned for the well-being of others. Have this mind in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what did he do? Well, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant and was made in the likeness of men. He ultimately became obedient to the point of death on the cross. Here is the attitude. Here is the mind of service above self. It's a selfless attitude, a self-emptying attitude that Jesus has, a self-denying attitude that Jesus often taught about we have to be willing to deny ourselves to follow Jesus. That's self-emptying attitude. Have this mind. He emptied himself. He took on the role of a servant. Took on the role of a servant. You know, that's just a cover for multitude of sins, doesn't it? Be of the same mind toward one another. We have to have put our faith above favoritism. Being of the same mind toward one another, we need to keep in mind that we're all striving for the same goal, fulfill the same purpose, and we need to imitate Jesus in putting service of others above our own selfish interests. On one occasion, Jesus met with his disciples, and he girded himself with a towel and took a pitcher of water. And he washed all their feet. An amazing show of hospitality and love, especially in that culture. And here's what he said. He says, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. That's John 13, 14, 15. Well, we know, of course, that's not about simply washing feet. This is about service above self. This is about having the heart of a servant, being willing to submit to the needs of one another. So how do we follow that example? By being of the same mind toward one another. By being a humble servant toward one another. So that's my lesson for this hour. And if you think about the body of Christ, there are so many passages that we go to from time to time where we realize that we're reminded that there are no distinctions. We've quoted in our previous lesson this morning from Galatians chapter 3, where he says, when we are baptized, we put on Christ, and he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female, there's neither bond nor free, we're all one in Christ. We're one. We're all the children of God. We're all created in his image and by his hand. We're God's new creation in Christ. Every single one of us is of great value in the sight of God. So much that he gave his son to save us, to make us his children, to make us his special possession. So praise be to God for such a gift as that. Again, it's been so encouraging to be with you this morning. God bless you all. And if there's anyone here who has a need that needs to be brought before this group, if we can help you in some way in drawing closer to the Lord and obeying him and being a disciple, we want to do that. Let's stand now as we sing. I have decided.